If we were to see Elijah this morning, he wouldn't have dishpan hands. He was a rough guy. He was a tough guy. He was the kind of guy, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. He was the kind of guy, if he was your daddy and you acted up, you wouldn't do it but one time. He would wear your behind out. And yet we see in the life of, did I get a witness off of that? We see in the life of Elijah how God is making him to be what God would have him to do. This morning, here's my question for you. What does God want from you? Now, I don't know specifically what he wants, but I know God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. And God wants, you say, well, I'm old, or I'm young, or I'm middle-aged, and here's the reasons I can't do this or that. No. God has something that he wants you very specifically to do. Now, looking at the life of Elijah, we learn that life is all about trusting God. Now, your assignment is going to be different than Elijah's. But God has an assignment for you. So God told Elijah, go see King Ahab. Tell him it's not going to rain for 3.5 years because of their sin. From there, God takes him to the brook Cherith. Takes him into hiding, takes him into seclusion. Ravens coming to feed him. Water there to drink. Everything was great until the brook ran dry. And while the brook might have run dry, God never runs dry. God never runs out. God never is empty. Can I get a witness? And God doesn't run out on us as well. So this morning, we go from the brook Cherith and we go to Zarephath. Vastly different place that God gives the assignment to Elijah. And we learned 4 lessons about Elijah in a sermon I'm entitling, Learning to Lean on Jesus. The first lesson I want you to see that we learn about God. Notice God's will, the will of God. 1 Kings 17, look at verse 8. The word of the Lord came unto him saying, as Elijah is sitting beside the dried up brook, no doubt he is wondering, I've been abandoned by God. God sent me here. God sent me to Ahab, and now he's sending me here, and this brook has dried up. God, hello, have you forgotten about me? Very literally. God had not forgot about Elijah. And God hasn't forgotten about you. Genuine faith waits for God to reveal his next plan when the brook runs dry. So maybe you're sitting here saying, God, preacher, I got to do something. My brook is drying up. My provision that I've depended upon, it's running out. I got to do something. Listen to it. Faith, genuine faith, waits for God to reveal his plan rather than jumping up and you trying to do something on your own. While God had cut off the water, God had not cut off his word for Elijah. Verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, hallelujah. You know what? When it seems dry, when it seems barren, when it seems that you're in a mess, God shows up and God speaks. That's why you read your Bible every day. That's why you're in church all the time, so that God can speak to you and you're listening to him. Notice God reveals his will to Elijah at the right time. God's never late. He said, well, you don't know what I'm going through. God is never late. He's always right on time. It's not until the brook dried up that God showed Elijah what his next step was. Didn't show him after he went to Ahab. Hey, I'm going to send you down to Cherith for a little bit. From Cherith, I'm going to send you to Zarephath. From Zarephath, we're going to have a few little issues. Then you're going to go to Mount Carmel. No. One step at a time. And you say, well, what does the future hold? One step at a time. You just keep listening to His voice. He'll show you. God's will is like the headlights on an automobile. All of your automobiles have headlights. And I would like those headlights to show me all the way home. But they don't. Just a little bit out there. Just enough to keep you safe. But it's not going to go around those corners. And it's not going to make those turns. Just a little bit. And that's the way God's will is. Not going to show you all the way for the rest of your life. You're going to have 6 grandbabies. They're going to have red hair. Then you're going to go and do this job for 10 years. And then you're going to, just a little bit at a time. Number one, the will of God. Number two, notice, ways of God. Verse 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath. Now, wait a minute. God, I've been praying to you because I don't like the brook Cherith. The brook's drying up, but Zarephath is a Gentile nation. God, Zarephath, it's the company of idolaters. God, Zarephath, that's where Jezebel is from, and that's where her daddy rules. It's this Zidon. God, Zarephath is 100 miles away, and I'm hunted. So I'm going to leave the place of security, the place of safety, the place where the birds are bringing me food. And yeah, I got water issues, but God, can't you dig a well for me or something? And God says, arise, get thee, go to Zarephath. Makes no sense. How about Noah? God says, Noah, Genesis 6, I want you to build an ark. Noah says, what's an ark? It's going to rain. God, what's rain? It made no sense. Maybe God's telling you something this morning, and it just doesn't make sense. Genesis 22, God tells Abraham, get thee to the land that I will show you and offer your son, your only son, whom you love, as a burnt offering unto me. God, that just doesn't make sense. And maybe that's where you are. You're at that brook Cherith, place of security, place of safety. God's telling you to go to Zarephath. And you're listening to reasons. I can't. It's not safe. I can't. Look at verse 9. It gets worse. Get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. And notice this next phrase. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. Let's just look at that. She's a widow woman. That means she had lost her husband. We don't know if it was accident. We don't know if it was an illness. But we know this lady, she lost her provider. She lost her protector. And now she's raising this boy all by herself. She's a widow woman, so no doubt she had cried herself to sleep many a night. No doubt when circumstances arose, she was like, let me run to my husband and get help. But he was no longer there. So God sends Elijah to this widow woman. You realize widow women in this time period were the poorest of the poor. You realize widow woman, when in a time of famine and drought, they would be the first one to die off because they had no one looking out for them. Now what's crazy is God doesn't send Elijah down to Zarephath, dangerous Zarephath, to take care of this widow woman. He sends Elijah down to dangerous Zarephath for this widow woman to take care of Elijah. Now remember, Elijah's a big bowed up guy. No dishpan hands. He pulls himself up by the boots. I don't need no woman taking care of me. No widow woman. brook Cherith, had cut Elijah down so that he had to just wait for ravens to bring him food. He saw that water rushing and running and trickling. He's got to depend upon the Lord. And now Zarephath means place of smeldering. They had some kind of smoldering factory there in Zarephath, I'm told. And this was a place where Elijah's pride would be burned away. So what does God want out of you? To trust Him. See, we are prone to depend upon ourselves. We're prone. I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. Hey, I got this coming down the pike, and I got to do it. Elijah teaches us. You do, but you do what God tells you to do. Even when you don't like it. I can see Elijah as he leaves the brook Cherith. He doesn't know what this lady looks like. He doesn't have all the details. He just says, hey, go down there to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow woman to sustain you. Well, Elijah has it in mind. A lot of times we have this rosy mindset. Widow woman, palatial estate, riches. Hey, I've hit it. Passed assignment number one. Made it through Brook Cherith. Now I'm going to go stay in this widow woman's palatial estate. That's how our mind works. When we show up, she's near starvation. The will of God. The ways of God. See, folks, God is not so interested in building your ego as He is in building your faith. And faith comes through testing. Faith comes through trials. Faith, for it to grow, comes through turmoil. The will of God. The ways of God. Thirdly, notice the work of God. I can see Elijah. I wonder if he was tossing and turning and arguing with God. I want to go to Zarephath. 100 miles. It's hot. It's desert. It's under the rule of Jezebel's dad. God, this is worse than dangerous. I like where you have. I'm sorry for complaining about the lack of water. Hey, I don't want to go to no Zarephath. How's he going to respond? Next verse, verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. To obey is better than sacrifice. A lot of times God comes to us and says, do this. And we want to give God reasons why we aren't. God, I don't like it. God, I don't want to. God, why are you telling me what to do? Tough guy Elijah obeyed immediately. He arose, went to Zarephath. Now, while God was working on Elijah, He was also working on this widow woman. You're in verse 10, look up at verse 9. Notice what He says. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. The widow in Zarephath was told God's will for her life by the word of God. Same way Elijah was told God's will. God came and told her, hey, here's what I want you to do. And my heart breaks for all of the widowers here in this room. He's like, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I've lost my best friend. I've lost my provider. I've lost my protector. What does God want me to do? Here's the answer. You will make it. You got to listen to the word of the Lord. God's going to tell you what your next step is. And yes, sometimes it's going to be challenging. Sometimes it's going to be difficult. But God's got a plan for you. And God's going to use you to change history. I can see all this widow is there. But me change history? How am I going to change history? God says, you just trust me and do what I tell you to do. And she did. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. God's call came at exactly the right time. that all of her resources were depleted. Her meal was getting to the bottom of the barrel, and God comes and he speaks to her at just the right time. And somebody was saying, God, you got to do something. Hurry up, God. Hurry up, God. Hurry up. God, hurry up. God's word comes at the right time. God's word comes in the right portion of the right amount. He doesn't tell her everything. He just tells her one thing at a time. Look at verse 10. So Elijah comes. Rose went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. He called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Hey, can you get a thirsty guy some water? And she immediately goes and gets Elijah some water. Step number one, when you hear his voice, just do it. If she wouldn't have handled step number one, there would not have been a step number two, and there would not have been a step three. So first one, can you give me some water? She says yes, and goes to do it. While she is going, verse 11, bring, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. Step number two. Step number one, the water belonged to the community. Step number one, if water wasn't hers, she was just going to go to the well and serve. Step number two was her resources. It was her food. Step number three, you look what he says in verse 13. Make me a little cake. Had the widow not followed his will and his directive on step number one and step number two, there never would have come a step number three. So no matter how difficult it is, no matter how challenging it is, no matter how hard it is, you just keep doing what God tells you to do. If it makes perfect sense, if it makes zero sense, you just keep doing what God told you to do. Look at verse 12. How would this widow respond to God's order? Verse 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. She's overwhelmed with fear. Taking care of Elijah made no financial sense. Hey, I don't have enough. I can't. Notice what she says, though. As the Lord liveth. And then she says, after saying that, I have not cake. We do the same thing. Well, God is alive. He's well. He's good. He's faithful. I can't. Does the Lord live? Oh, yeah, the Lord lives. Is God all powerful? Yeah, God's all powerful. I can't. Wait a minute. You can't have it both ways. If God is alive and well, you can through him. Maybe you can on your own, but hallelujah, where's my hanky? If he's alive and well, I can, hallelujah, from my meager resources, I can't. But the answer is the Lord liveth, and hallelujah, I can. She's fearful. She's got that look on the verse. Behold, I'm gathering two sticks and I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it. And then we're going to die. Folks, here it is. Faith does not flourish in times of abundance. Faith flourishes in times of want and meagerness. So they say, preacher, I don't have it. Preacher, I can't afford it. Preacher, I do not have the means. Hallelujah. Let me give you some good news. The Lord lives. Woo! You don't have the faith flourishes when you don't have enough. Notice how Elijah encourages her. Verse 13. Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. Don't be afraid. The Lord lives. Don't doubt. The Lord lives. I don't know what God's calling you to. You say, the task is too big. The task is too big. Don't be afraid. The Lord lives. He will help you. He just needs you to trust, and He needs you to obey. He gives her comfort. He gives her correction. Verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. He doesn't point her to His words. He says, this is what God's word for you is. The only way you're going to make it dependent upon the word of Almighty God. Don't be afraid when He asks you to do something. Don't be fearful. Don't say, well, this makes no financial sense. It makes no political sense. Elijah's the most wanted man on the face of the earth. The Lord lives, and He's asking you to do this. Fear not. He gives encouragement. Do what the Lord has said. He gives correction. Notice the commitment. He gives a promise. Verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. God's work in our lives often demands things that are difficult to understand. Often requires us to put our faith over our vision. Well, God, I don't see it. God, it just doesn't make sense. God says, trust me and obey the work of God. Let me give you one more. Wisdom of God. Look at verse 9 one more time. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there too. The next word is the word sustain thee. Sustain means to calculate. Sustain means to provide for. So when God sent Elijah down to this widow of Zarephath's house, God says, I've already done the calculation. While it doesn't add up from a human perspective, it does add up from a divine perspective. There's going to be all that you need. You're not going to do without. Hey, she will sustain you, and I've calculated, and I've measured, and hallelujah, woo! There's just enough. Just trust me, my friend. I don't know what you're going through. The Lord lives. I don't know your trial. The Lord lives. I don't know what your fears are. The Lord lives, and He's going to sustain you. Amen? Yeah, I don't believe it. Look at verse 10. Notice what happened when Elijah obeyed. Arose, went to Zarephath, and he came to the gate of the city. Behold, the woman was there. He didn't have to go walking around town. Hey, do you know this widow woman, this widow's Zarephath? I don't know her name, but God told me. He didn't have to go walking up street. Widow of Zarephath, where are you? Oh. He gets to the gate of a city, and she's standing there waiting on him. You say, how did that happen? The Lord lives. And He is orchestrating, and He is divining, and He is bringing about His will in Elijah's life. And He will do that for you. Not a coincidence. Abraham sent his servant Eleazar down to find a bride for his son Isaac. Eleazar says, okay, I'm going to go. This is Eleazar's testimony, Genesis 24, verse 27. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. He comes. First person he comes to was that woman. God's going to orchestrate. God is going to move heaven and earth so that He accomplishes His will in your life. God's plan. Secondly, notice His power. Verse 14. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. She had the promise of God. Now, was she going to believe the promise of God? or was she going to believe her feelings? Was she going to believe God's word, or was she going to believe what her eyes told her? What Satan whispered into her ear? What was she going to believe? Look at verse 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Hallelujah. I can see her going in there, hanky in hand, give me a little bit of freedom. Goes into the cupboard, and there it is, the barrel of meal. I see it a little bit like those crunch berries I eat for breakfast. Hallelujah. I like those berries. And I go to pour it into the bowl. I get a few of the crunch and fewer of those berries. And then I get all of that extra dust, crumbs. They just go on top of them like, man. And I leave Tracy a note on the refrigerator. Neve, Captain Crunch, bad. That's where she was. She goes to the barrel and she reaches down and down and down into that barrel. And there was just enough. She had meal in the one hand. I think she had a hanky in the other hand. Woo! I don't know about tomorrow, but he provided today. Woo! He's faithful. He's good. There's enough for us to eat today. Oh, wait a minute. I need oil. You can't just have flour. You got to have the oil. So she goes and she goes and gets that cruse of oil. Pardon me. I know this is probably not politically correct, but I see it as like the Aunt Jemima syrup. You ever had it on your Echo? And you turn it up and you go to squeeze it and it makes that sound. Plup, 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 plup. And it's empty. That's where she was. Hey, I got just enough meal to make some cornbread, but I need the oil. And she turns it up and it goes plump, 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 plump. Enough, enough. Where's that hanky? Hallelujah. The Lord lives. The Lord lives. And the next day, and the next day. Look back at verse 15. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat that day and the next day and the next day. It says, did eat many days. You say, how do you figure that? The Lord lives. The Lord lives. The Lord lives. And she and he and Junior trusted God Almighty. Say, preacher, what does God want for me? He wants to grow your faith. He wants you to stop trusting in you, in your ways, in your opinion, and your finagling. He wants you to listen to his word and obey immediately. If it's an easy command or if it's a hard command. I'm just going to do what the Lord wants me to do. And she and he and her house. That, you know what that means? When they had neighbors who were starving, came over to the house. Hey, do I smell cornbread with a lot of butter? You got one or two pieces extra? Oh, yeah, come on. She, look what the Bible says. I'm just reading you scripture. She and he and her house. That means everybody that came over, she blessed them with food. Why? The Lord lives. What area is it in your life? You say, I can't trust him in this area. No. What area in your life are you fearful? What area in your life you're saying, God wants me to take this huge step? And I'm listing all the reasons I won't. Or I can't. You know him. His name was George Mueller. Born to a German tax collector. Went the way of the world. The way of alcohol and partying. And George Mueller had developed the bad, horrible habit that he would go in and enjoy these really nice hotels. And then he would slip out early in the morning so he didn't have to pay for it. running from God, disobedient from God. And then on one Saturday night in 1825, Jesus got a hold of his heart and he repented of his sin and he turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and he saved him radically. What did he do? Just obeyed the Lord. Just started following the Lord. But the Lord gave him a burden. Those homeless children need help. Somebody needs to do something to help out those homeless children. And he said, God, I can't. God, I don't have the means. God, I'm not capable. And God kept saying, George, somebody needs to do something here to help those homeless children. And instead of arguing with the Lord, he says, all right, I will, but you got to provide. December 9th, 1835, they opened the first orphanage, 6 Wilson Street. The doors opened. They had 26 children come in to live in that orphanage. Before long, God gave them another house and another house and another house. You read, and I encourage, if you only read one biography this year, read George Mueller's biography. One of the most famous stories, you probably heard it. All of the children, several hundred of them, and you see pictures of them, several hundred of the children came down for breakfast one morning. Problem is, they were out of food. They didn't have any money to go buy food, and George Mueller did what George Mueller always did. He didn't tell the public about his needs. He didn't broadcast it. He just went into his prayer closet, and he prayed. The dishes were set. The silverware was set. The cups were there. There was no milk. There was no food. George Mueller comes out of his prayer closet. He says, bring the children. It's time to eat. All the workers are saying, but there's no food. He said, bring the children. It's time to eat. They bring the children. They gathered around all of the tables. He said, let's pray and thank the Lord for the food. The workers are saying, but there's no food to thank the Lord for. He prays, God, I thank you. Thank you for the food that you are providing for us to have today. You are good and you are faithful. We thank you. Bless it to our bodies. In your name we pray. Amen. His biography says, as soon as he said amen, there came a knock on the door. Baker was there crying. Mr. Mueller, I couldn't sleep last night. God woke me up at 2:00 in the morning and said, I needed to go and cook food for you. So I'm here. I got a whole lot of hot, buttery biscuits and food for these children because God told me to come. Did I miss him? And George Mueller, with a gleam in his eyes, said, you didn't miss him. They got all the food in. You read his biography. And they said, right after that, here comes the milkman. Milkman comes walking up and says, hey, I got a problem with my carriage. The wheel's broken. It's going to take forever to fix. This milk is going to spoil. Could you possibly use some milk? I don't know if they had hankies, and I don't know if George Mueller used them, but those staff were. You say, what happened? The Lord lives. The Lord lives. The Lord lives. You who are doubting, you who are fearful, you who are fighting and saying, God, I can't go to Zarephath. It's dangerous. But the Lord lives. He and she and her house did eat many days.